Rebellions are built on hope.
And welcome to another episode of Radio Rebellion, a Star Wars podcast. I'm your host, Alberto Calderon, and look who's back. He's back again.
I'm
He's
back.
Oti, how are you doing?
Okay. Yeah. I'm okay. Fine. I've been very busy these past couple of weeks, which is why I haven't been around. But I managed to make some time.
Yeah, thanks. It was a great surprise when you jumped in a couple of weeks ago. I know we kind of thought maybe not, but it was great for you to jump in that day. And then just when you told me today, yeah, I think I can make it.
Yeah, so I'm going to tell the story. That time we were packing, so when my dog had to go out, I was like, oh, yeah. I'll just use this moment. And that's when I jumped in. Last week, I was going to use, we were doing the actual move. And it's like a half an hour trip from the previous apartment to this one. And I was going to use one of those trips to call in. And during the last trip, which was right around the time of the show, I hit my nose with a lamp. And for a second, I thought I had broken it, but I didn't. But so my whole drive was like me, like with a... And the thing is, like in the previous apartment, there was nothing left. It was just the lamps and a couple of like coats and things. Mm-hmm. So I had nothing to like stop the bleeding with, so I had to take off my shirt, put it like this. It was a disaster.
No, that's fine. You can take the day. We don't need to see all that blood rushing out. Yep. Oh man, well, thanks for being here, and thanks to everyone that is watching us today. If this is your first time, make sure you subscribe to our channel so you don't miss great stories like that Oti just told us. He always has a story. Hit that like button. Comment down below if you're listening to this on the audio podcast. I mean, on the replay. And also, when you listen to the audio podcast, give us a rating, 5-star review, all that fun stuff. And don't miss our show. You never know who's going to show up. It's new books coming out. Oti, I'm so happy I got the advanced review Temptation of the Force.
I can't wait for your spoilery, non-spoiler thoughts.
Oh, man. I haven't started yet. That book comes out like June 11th. If I read it now, by the time we talk about it, it will be gone. I'll remember.
You know what I was doing before the show?
I have no idea.
I was watching Rise of the Planet of the Apes. You know what I did after? I went to the movie theater and watched Civil War. And then after that, I started watching Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. But 10 minutes into that movie, I was like, wait, I have a Star Wars book that I haven't read. So I picked up my copy and read 5 chapters.
There you go. Of Defy the Storm. Where are you?
Defy the Storm. I don't know. Somewhere. I was very bored. Something with Yordana and the Sentekas was happening.
I want to hear your review of that book years from now.
Every time Vernestra shows up, it's like, yay!
Yeah, then she leaves. Oh, no. Gotta wait 5 more chapters.
Oh, I complain. It's not a book I'm loving, but I will say the Reap reveal was great because before they told us it was Reed, I knew it was him just because of the way he was written.
Yeah.
So good job, Tessa Grant and Christina.
I was so happy when he showed up. Oh, yay, Reed! And then you want more Reed. He's not around.
I mean, following out of the shadows, it's the same thing. He shows up and then he's out of it.
Hey, Alan. How are you doing?
Hey, Alan.
And also, Mo was here. Most here, she just finished The Rising Storm, so she needs a little bit of counseling right now.
I heard the show when she talked about
it. Yeah, so she finished it yesterday, I think.
If you don't mind pushing the show a little bit longer, I finished Doctor Who, so I can give my thoughts on
that. Yes, I listened to your Doctor Who podcast about it. I agree with a lot of it. One thing I was, whatever, but okay. Let's go ahead and start. We'll get started. Okay. But yeah, Temptation of the Force, just got it. June 11th when it comes out. We can't talk about it at about May 28th. So I'm like, I'm gonna take my time. There's no rush for it right now. I'm listening to Raid Squadron, one of those old Legends books.
Isn't that from the X-Wing books?
Yes.
You're jumping into a random one.
It's the one they sent me. So I'm not going to say, hey, which one is this? I'm loving it. I'm almost done. I got like probably like 10% of it left, like 2 or 3 chapters, I think. I'm actually enjoying a book about pilots. It's very fun.
I read the first one when the Essential Things came out. Mm-hmm. I really liked that. I just, you know, I keep my distance from Star Wars books. If I'm not like dying to read it, I'll just hold it up.
I mean, this one is sat on my inbox for a while, and then I said, I finished the Alien Force, I can listen to it on my way to work, and that's just when I go to work, I listen to a chapter when I drive back, so I've been taking my time, but it's very enjoyable. All right, if you guys are ready, I'm not ready, let's talk Star Wars and Star Wars news.
Star Wars news.
All right, so you picked a good week to come back, Gotti. Kind of is in. It's a slow week for Star Wars news, but a new mini series, right third, from writer Rodney Barnes and artist Ramon Rosanas, Inquisitors follows the Empire's Jedi Hunters as they narrow in on a new target, Tensu Run, a survivor of Order 66, looking to spread hope and rebuild the Jedi Order. He has won the attention of Darth Vader, who is determined to have Tensu killed at any cost. So, surprised that we got a new Inquisitor comic book, comic miniseries. When it first came out, whatever. I think it's a good way to keep the Inquisitors kind of out there in the public, because this is what they do, and just give them a miniseries. And then we get another Jedi survivor from Order 66, which I know some people are kind of over it. Honestly, I didn't even notice when I read it the first time. Just when I reread it this morning, that's a new Jedi. I don't mind. But I think a comic book focused on the Inquisitors is a good way to go for all the fans of those dark Jedis or whatever we want to call them.
Regarding the Jedi thing, I'll just say the same thing I always say. There were like 10,000 Jedis. If 25 survived, it's still like a big loss. I mean, it's interesting. I don't think I'll read it. Like, again, I just mentioned I keep my distance from overwhelming myself with Star Wars reading. If I hear good things about it, then I'll probably check it out. But I don't know. Like, it doesn't really pique my interest.
Yeah. Same here.
Unless it's like a Trilla story or something like that. Then I'll jump in.
I was a bit surprised on the timing with Tales of the Empire coming and what's her name now being an Inquisitor?
Barisafi.
So I thought that maybe she'll show up in this comic series just to kind of tie it in. She was nowhere in the announcement or in that title, I mean, that cover page, which the art looks awesome.
But again, the artwork looked cool.
Yeah, it's nothing to complain about, right? If you like the Inquisitors, go read it. If you like comic books, go read it.
Don't read it.
You know, then just wait for someone to do a review and spoil it.
Alberto, I'm gonna call you out on something.
Oh, here we go.
You need Pepsid. You need it.
I need something.
Pepsid. You know what Pepsid is?
Isn't that for gas or something?
No, it's for acid reflux. You, my friend, have acid reflux. And I don't think you know it.
Dude, since Wednesday, I had a pain in my stomach. It just went out this morning. But yesterday, I was taking a lot of medicine. And the last one was Millicon, I think, which is for gas and stuff. So I know it's been a weird week.
Okay, I'm just calling you out on that.
No, that's fine. Thanks for your medical diagnosis.
I take Pepsid like every single day for the past like 18 years.
Dude, I don't need another ailment, okay? As my birthday gets closer, my 44th birthday gets closer, I don't want to think about anything
because else. I have acid reflux since I was like 3, so... Mm. I know it when I see it.
All right, Buck, what are you going to say to this
hey,
guy?
Hey, Buck. By the way, so Mo is reading Out of the Shadows. Good for you, Mo. I don't love that book. But I saw you finish The Rising Storm, and that's my favorite Star Wars book. So congrats.
The Rising Storm. All right, so that's it. That's it for Star Wars news. Let's go on and jump into the Bad Batch in that segment we call Star Wars on TV.
Star Wars on TV.
I love our four.
Well, every time he showed up in, I think 2 weeks ago, I think in an episode of The Bad Batch, or maybe this week. And there he is. Every time I see a little mouse droid, now I just think of you. All right, on the episode 13, Into the Breach, we're two episodes away from the finale. Another solid episode, not going to move the Bad Batch to where they need to be, get closer to Omega. Maybe not a lot to break down in terms of, let's spend 45 minutes talking about this episode. But again, another solid kind of, not preview, but getting us closer to what's most likely these last two episodes are just going to deliver big, impactful moments. This is just very tense moment at the end. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, yeah, of course they're going to attach to the ship, and we'll talk about more about that at the end. There's a little couple of seconds I got, is that ship going to jump? But have you been enjoying these past few weeks of the Bad Batch and then this one a couple of days ago?
Yeah, I think it's continued to be solid. I think these past two episodes have been like, I don't want to say a dip because it's building for what the finale is going to be. But like, I think like the first half of the season was just so good that maybe these episodes are like not as good, but they're still pretty great. I really actually like this episode. The previous episode was kind of meh on, but again, it's not that I didn't like it. I just didn't love it as much as the other ones. But this one was fun, even though I watched it like at 5 a.m.
I mean, it's difficult to reach what they did at the beginning of the series and then just keep building on it week by week. But even if it takes one or two steps down, it's still a very good episode.
Yeah. And yeah, again, it started so high that those steps downs are
yeah, it's fine. Nothing. It's still great. And I love these past two episodes that Hunter has taken a lot of the focus because of that. In the beginning, it was mostly Crosser. Crosser and Omega spending a lot of time together. Most of the character arcs and everything that was happening was focused on those two characters. But since Omega was taken this last week, like Hunter's back on. It's like, okay, I don't care what's going on. I don't care that Crosser let Omega get captured. I'm just going to go rescue her. And especially and leading that mission last week, and same as this week, it's like, yeah, we'll get Rampart telling him, hey, the Empire betrayed you. They threw you in jail because you destroyed Tipoca City, right? But we're the ones who rescue you, so don't forget that when we go back, don't turn your back on us. And then, of course, at the end, what everyone's been talking about, that negative line. I say, I don't care. I'm just going straight into the ship. Mm-hmm. So I'm very happy that Hunter has taken the lead back on. But we start back on Mount Tantis. Omega there, making friends with the old Jedi children there. Four kids. But Omega, as always, she's been here before. She's already... The wheels are turning as soon as she gets down there.
She has like this baller vibe to her. She's like sitting in the chair laid back with all her shit. And she's like, that's what we're going to do.
Stealing things.
I continue to love Omega. I love how not the damsel in this, how she's not the damsel in distress. She's like, she's there. She's like, okay, let's figure this out and get the hell out of here again.
Yeah. Oh, there's no way we can get out of here. They're always watching. If you try, they'll capture you.
Been there, done that.
Yes. Stay close. Stay close to me and I'll get you out. But we meet back with Echo, which we haven't seen in a while, in not Cloud City, whatever the Kaminoan research facilities. And I'll be honest, I saw it, oh, Cloud City. And they, oh no, that's right. They were here. Season one, I think.
Every time Echo shows up, I'm like, oh right, Echo. He's part of the batch.
Surprised that Rex wasn't there. I'm guessing he'll show back up. We'll talk at the end about just, we'll speculate a little bit. I like Rampart. He's kind of this, not the punch of the jokes, but he's there almost as a comedic vibe. I still hate him. I still want him to not be redeemed. But he has some great lines in this last episode, and this week it was very funny. I love when they give him the captain's uniform. I can't wear this. And but you used to be Imperial. No. I was a vice admiral. You've been demoted. I hate clones. It's like, you didn't need that last line. We're just great delivery.
Say it, Mo. Rampart with a beard is hot.
He's still a joke. I still.
That was like my one nitpick. He put on. Couldn't you shave, man? Really? Like,
yeah. Come on. He combed his hair a little bit, and then that's.
Just shave.
I'm gonna go ahead and say it. they miss a big Star Wars trope in having the Bad Batch just dressed in regular stormtrooper armor to infiltrate the facility. Hey, let's just take the paint off. No one will know the most recognizable and wanted clones in the whole galaxy. Echo has one hand. He only has one hand just walking through.
At first, I thought about that, but then I thought, like, since he's trying to pass us this, like, Tantus Imperial, like, yeah, he has to hang out with weird people. That's my Tantus clone troopers. Yeah.
When I watched it the first time, I'm like making all these notes on my phone. How the hell did they let this pass? I watched it this morning. That's like three times. I didn't see the first time when Echo took all the paint off. Then I think Rampart tells them, like, come on, look at you. We're not going to be able. And they said, oh, you just worry about your stuff. We'll worry about ours. And then when they first go down the ramp, the first person that stops them, they're like, oh, those uniforms are not regulations. And then Rampart steps in, oh, they're my special unit. It's like, okay, they kind of work their way around it. It'll still be fun. But I know Wrecker stayed on the ship. Can you imagine Wrecker trying to get into one of those stormtrooper outfits? That'll be fun.
And by the way, let's remember, this is the same army and the same government that in like 7 years is gonna not notice Obi-Wan and Leia under the same jacket.
I mean, you keep saying it's this imperial
incompetence.
So yeah, I'm not surprised that they didn't notice. My mind was, just give me some Hunter in a...
And by the way, it's ever present in this episode, not just on that, because they get in all, even with all the red flags, like, oh, it doesn't check out. Like, oh, yeah, who are these weird people? Just because Rampart is like, oh, I'll have Governor Tarkin there. Yeah. So like the fear of punishment, which is like the lingering thing of the Empire, is what's making them incompetent. Like the fear of getting punished for X, Y, and Z is...
Yeah, there's never any pushback on what he's saying or what people are. Yeah, okay, I don't want to get in trouble. Don't get me into trouble. Don't call the upper management. We don't need to get into that. But then going back to Omega, here comes our friend Emery Carr taking more blood samples. And Omega, as always, like you said, she's a baller. She's making her plans. She sees the tray with all the medical equipment. She's like, I'm going to steal that. And I'm going to use it to open this wall panel. And then she's very sneaky. Ooh, I got something under my sleeves. You didn't see anything. But I love. We've been saying it since the first episode, how much she's grown. She cares not just about rescuing the clones, now rescuing these poor kids that she doesn't even know why they're there, how they got there. She's like, I'm going to get you out. And I already have my layout of the whole facility. I've been here 5 hours.
Yep.
I get it all planned, so... keep them quiet or keep them busy for a little bit while I figure this stuff out. So,
Alberto, let's go to your tweet for a second. What makes you think Omega's going to leave the clones there?
It's just a joke. She won't leave that.
She's not leaving them. Crosshair's not here to tell her no.
It's just a joke. No. Oh, I mean, that's the whole plan. That's the whole idea of their going back to Tantus to liberate the clones. And we're all thinking there's going to be this clone rebellion at the end. So...
the last stand of the clones.
Yeah. What do you think about this? I don't say new because he was probably there first season or season two. This other scientist there that Emery Carr seems to be arguing with. Do you think they're going to duke it out?
Maybe. I don't think that character is important if that's the
question. Oh, no. I love also, not love, but it's kind of funny, like, a couple of weeks ago, Emery Carr had no idea about the vault, had no access to a vault. No, she's a chief scientist, and there's like 300 people working there already. Like, all these people got clearance, and she didn't know anything about it.
I'm pretty sure those people have to be like slaves there. Like, they can't leave. Okay, you get the job, but you can't
walk. Yeah, you live in this little gangway up here, just looking at kids like a creeper.
You sleep on your desk.
Yeah. Oh, one person I didn't get to sleep on his day was Echo when he got sucked up that vacuum tube like a poor droid.
Super weird.
There's gonna be a better way.
I love that the minute they saw that thing sucking up the droids, they were like, Echo, go.
You know what to do. I love that the R2 units just bumping into him like, get the hell out of the way. I got a job to do. I know you look like a droid, but get out of the way.
Yep.
Oh man. So anyway, so he gets there and needs to. Sorry, let's. So to get to Tantis, they can't get the coordinates because they're given at the same time. They gotta go to Coruscant, so jump into a ship.
And they get the coordinates when they're about to jump. So
yeah,
good plan, Incompetent Empire. That's pretty solid.
So the Shadow Clone, where he got Omega, had to go to Coruscant, get the codes. So once you get the codes once, I'm guessing you can go again. You don't have to go. I think you have to go back to Coruscant every time.
I think so.
I think it's like a waste of hyper fuel, but whatever.
I mean, they're keeping it. I'm pretty sure the Emperor's clones are there, so I'm pretty sure they're keeping it.
pretty tight. Yeah. But anyway, so he's trying to kind of release or break away this. What is it? Anyway, I don't have on my notes. Oh, the. I don't know. Anything. What was that Echo had to take down so they can approach the ship? Forgetting the word, proximity sensors.
The proximity sensors.
Yeah. So I'll be honest. I'm watching the show. Of course, he's going to do it. We got 2 episodes left. Haha, he's going to get there. It was still a bit tense. Knowing that a couple episodes ago, Crosshair missed the sniper shot to get that tracker, it was a couple of seconds, especially when they send the trooper to find out, oh, there's some droid activity. Go check it out. It was a very slight kind of tingling in the back of my head that, man, they might jump and they might miss the chance. Did you at any point think they weren't going to make it? Or were you,
For 2 seconds until I realized there were 2 episodes. they got to start wrapping this up.
Yeah. But it was like a cool moment, very tense. And again, giving Hunter that badass moment. I said, I don't care.
Yep.
I'm not aborting. Negative. I'm going Let's in. Even go. If he doesn't take down the sensors, I'm going in. So I love, again, that Hunter was able to take charge in those moments.
I mean, because, like, worst case scenario, they jump anyways, and it's a dogfight in Tantis, so whatever.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do at that point. Once they're attached to the ship and in hyperspace, kind of screwed there. So that was basically it. We got 2 episodes left. A lot to start thinking about. Let's talk about the Rampart. Would you think he has any part to play in the finale? He's
there, right? He's with them.
So I'm like, why are you still taking him? You already know what you need to do. Just leave him in Coruscant. He's there for a reason. Will Rampart survive?
I don't think so. I don't think he's in a redemption arc neither. Like, at best, he's like a Hux. Like, oh, I don't want you to win. I don't care if you win. I just don't want Hemlock to win something like that.
I think that's exactly what Mo said last week. When I said, I don't, why is Rampa here? He's like, I think he'll do the Hux thing. He might be. freaking Hemlock.
But again, I don't mind him being there. Like, It's going to be interesting to see how that's going to play out. And we haven't seen Hemlock in a while, I think.
He was there last week, but he wasn't there this week. And again, last week was just to bring Omega to the vault. And that was
he's like, oh, this is where you're going to stay.
This is your house.
I just love that character, and I want to see more. I want to see more of him.
Yeah. Right, so Clipsfield's Melbourne is adding that the Bad Batch trip outpaced so much for stealth, as Rex said back in season 7 when they rescued Echo. That's what they do. That armor. Do you think, because would you like to see the Bad Batch at the end have their original color to kind of full circle back to who they were when all this started?
Red, gray, and black? Yeah. That'd be cool.
I think that'd be a nice kind of, we're done hiding, or this is who we are. So I would like to see them back with their original colors. But Rampart, again, I don't like the character.
Oh, I think he's an idiot. I like my Imperials.
Yeah, he brings, I don't know, a brush of fresh air these past couple of episodes. I'm seeing him going maybe face to face with Hemlock, just arguing, Hemlock, why? are you doing here instead of prison? He, well, the emperor himself came and let me out or something. I think it would be cool to see the two of them go at it.
I'm going to throw in a question because I'm not going to be here next week. Do you think we're going to see Darth Vader in the finale?
I'm going to say yes, because I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks, like episode 3 or 4. I think that's how Hemlock's going to meet his end. I think Necromancer is not going to work. The Emperor already told him this better work or you're in trouble. Tarkin told him a few weeks ago, you're asking for a lot, so if this doesn't work, we'll see. I think something's not going to work out. Tant is going to be destroyed, and then I'm sending someone to meet with you, and then it's Darth Vader.
The Bad Batch is on their way there. Something's going to go horribly wrong. No, yeah. The way I see it is like that's where they're sheltering the Emperor's. They're probably sheltering his clones. So, like, when the Emperor hears that something's going on, he's gonna call Vader. He's like, yo, I know you're grieving, Padme. Get on a freaking ship and get over there right now.
Get your ass with us. Do I have to go to Coruscant for the codes? No, here you are.
I'll text them to you.
Yeah, just go. Oh, yeah. I hope. And seeing him, Darth Vader, that Bad Batch animation style, it's come on, just. He doesn't need to wreck shop. Just show up, and you know what's gonna happen.
I'm also thinking it because since they made the model they made it for season 7 of Clone Wars, but also for Tales of the Empire. Like,
yeah,
maybe they want to use it again because it's expensive to make. Can you imagine him showing up with a bunch of Inquisitors?
Oh, all these Jedi kids.
And then Omega's like, I'm going to use the Force for the first time.
This is my next question. Do you think Omega or maybe some of the other kids might use the Force to break out?
And we get like a Stranger Things thing.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty. I don't think Omega's Force sensitive, honestly.
Yeah.
If she is, whatever. But
we should use this one. Ventress taught her to teach the kids how to control their center themselves and then just push with the Force.
It'd be super cool if suddenly we got a bunch of kids using the Force. Just like Force pushing people.
Yeah, that's the only thing they need to do. Force push people on the side, break the doors, and then just leave. And then Vader comes after they've left. I'm not saying that Vader's going to kill them.
Look who's here.
Ooh,
Brennan. Hi, Brennan.
How you doing, Brennan? We gotta get there.
By the way, you wrote us a message and I forgot to reply, but yes, I'm available for the date you mentioned.
All right. So yeah, we'll get that set up, Brennan. Yep. Get on Ote. He's the one pushing everything back. Now, when he tells us the days of, I can't do those days. I'll be the one. So talking about people coming back, it makes sense that Rex is going to show up at some point. But at this, I don't know how, if they don't have the coordinates at this moment, I don't know who else is going to show up.
I don't know if maybe they get to Tantus and they send like a beacon or something.
That's the only way.
Like, maybe that's the only way they can do it. Because, yeah, I want to see these people come back. I want to see Asajj back. Like,
so the big question that I have, just to finish this talk, because the last next week is Flash Strike, and then the last episode is the cavalry arrives, and. With this thing about the coordinates and who's going to get there and how, who's this cavalry? Right? Because we've been thinking, but a lot of people we've met through these 3 seasons are going to show up. What if the cavalry is just the 3 of them or the 4 of them with Ekon? That's the cavalry, it's just the Bad Batch coming in to save the day instead of just Rex and Cody and Wolf and all these. I mean, where's Wolf? He showed up for 2 episodes and we haven't seen him.
Maybe Wolf is the one who's gonna be like, I know where they are.
Yeah, you know what? I'll give you that.
And, we know Wolf ends up with Rex at some point. So I think next episode is gonna flash. I mean, maybe it's like a side episode. And
you find just Rex on his own. I'm mission with
him. It's Omega helping someone in Tantus. I think it's gonna be them doing like the initial attack of Mount Tantus. Maybe beforehand they're like, let's send this beacon to Rex, and you know, we can't do this on our own, but we have to strike now. And we end up on that cliffhanger, and then at the next episode, like, literally the cavalry arrives.
Yeah. Yeah, they still, because they gotta detach from the ship when they jump out of hyperspace, and then make their way to the planet. I don't think they're going straight to Mount Tantis. So this flash track is probably getting close to the actual base.
Yeah.
And then the last episode.
Mo saying, all the dogs coming out would be so cool. Yes, it would. Where the is Batcher? Where is Batcher?
Batcher? Looking for Rex. Trying to find Rex.
I'm not asking for much. You can just give me a shot of her walking about around Pabu while they rebuild. I'd be fine with that. But where is Batcher?
Batcher's here, the place ready for the retirement. I know a lot of people want Omega story to continue, and maybe the next animated show is Omega and maybe some other clones, just liberating more clones or whatever. Let them retire. Let all the clones that they rescue move to Pabu and just retire there and just have a happy life as a happy family. And if the Empire comes, we have all these ex-Imperial or ex-Army people here to help us, help defend us. Let's just chill with Batcher and all the other weird creatures. Let Omega have a nice life. She's 13 and she's going through too much to keep fighting. Just relax.
Or maybe she ends up with Asajj. Or forms the path.
And she's in the new Jedi movie with Rey.
She'd be like 50-something at this point.
She could be. Boba Fett's around at that. All right, Oti, I'll ask. Tech, are we seeing Tech, or have you thrown the white flag?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, all right.
No, I just hope that if Tech does not show up, people are like, oh, how could they do this? Like, why would they tell us Tech is dead and leave him dead?
As much as I've been saying here that I want Tech to be alive, and yeah, he's going to show up 5 episodes ago, there's been no indication that Tech is alive. Zero. So no one can say, oh, they bait and switch us. There's been no indication.
Literally starts with the scene again. Just being like, hey, remember, Tech is dead.
It's in the freaking data bank that they updated a couple of weeks ago when the goggle showed up. Yeah, Tech, when he died, we got the goggle. So, but we need to know who that crappy CX2 that clone, why he keeps surviving. But he's been gone for like 3 weeks.
He's a clone.
Which, I mean, CX-1 was just a clone, so precisely. We can't complain if it doesn't. Precisely. If it's just a clone, it's just a clone.
I still think there's hope for that to be Crosshair.
A Crosshair
clone. And have that last, you know, fight against himself moment.
Yes, and that was my other option if it's not Tech, and I'll put Box coming. I think he's 100% right. It's too late for a Tech reveal. If this was 3 episodes ago, which is more or less what I was thinking, I think it works best. And I'll just do, hey, here's Tech, and let's end the season.
Although I think of cartoons I used to watch as a kid, and that would be super something they do. Oh, look, here's Tech. Yeah, we saved him.
Just riding Batcher into battle.
Or they find like a vat tube and he's like, oh, Tech! He's arrived.
He's fine. Just get him out of there. He's fine. He's been in Bacta all this time. All right, Oti. 2 more episodes.
But I don't think so. I wouldn't bet on it.
I was texting with my brother the other day. He's still same as me, holding out. Tech is alive. I'm like, I hope, but it's every week.
Nothing is indicating to that, but sure.
Yeah, we gotta keep that positivity going. But I won't be mad if it doesn't happen. Then, okay, wishful thinking. All right, Oti, any last thoughts on the Bad Batch before we move on?
Nope, it's been good. Yeah. I've really been surprised on how consistently good the season has been, honestly.
Yeah, I'm surprised I'm saying this after not being the biggest fan of season 1 and 2, so I'm going to miss this group. I've really enjoyed this last season. Everyone has grown up on me. I wasn't too big a fan of Hunter and Wrecker. They seemed too cliche for me. But this season, I mean, from the end of last season, and everything they've done this year with Crosshair, and of course, Omega has just been a highlight from the beginning. So two more weeks to wrap it up.
I remember when you used to say you didn't like Omega. I won't forget that.
Did I say I did? I want
to. Oh, yes. Go back to your tweets. You're always looking for hot takes.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to check.
One second.
No, dude, if you find a tweet of me saying that I don't like Omega, even if it's not directly, but something that you can deduce from my tweets, I'll be like, oh, man, I'll apologize right here in person. So while you look for that, let's go to this next segment of the show. We talk about something that's not Star Wars in a world between fandoms.
Do you have your phone with you?
I have my phone with me. Are you sending me something? Is it a text or a...
It's a tweet.
Man.
I want you to read it out loud for the class to hear.
All right. Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Am I going to have to put this on screen also? All right.
Always your time.
Did you save this or so? How do you have this
no,
so quick?
I got in your profile and Googled Omega and searched Omega.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Let me go to the actual. I want to find the date. 2 years ago, May 5th, 2021.
After Star Wars Day, you monster.
Oh, my goodness. My hashtag Bad Batch hot take. Omega was just okay. It's there. Sorry.
That
English. Oh, my. I apologize to Omega.
I follow.
I'm so sorry. I'll take everything bad I said about you. You're a
the
great
pandemic
cat.
Has just happened. It's fine.
Oh, my.
January 6th had just happened.
Yeah, I don't know where my mind was. COVID, January 6th, the elections, everything was too much.
Are you a fan of The Office?
Yes, I love The Office.
It's like Ryan blaming being a dick to Kelly because he never processed 9/11 like 8 years later.
Oh, man. I'm going to go back. I'll go back and tweet something out to make it better. Anyway, Alte, before we started, we talked that we're getting closer to Doctor Who. Three novels are coming out. Also,
I will not read any of them. Or maybe I'm not. I want to read Dune. That's what's
next. Okay. I might read Dune. I don't have it. I got to get it. Anyway, the marketing for Doctor Who has started. Like you said before, having the Disney marketing machine behind them seems to be a great push.
I love it.
But you just finished your whole watch of Doctor Who. Finally, you finished.
I even watched the four specials again.
All right. So real quick, since you finished Jodie Whittaker's run, last time we talked about it, I think you were almost done with the first season. Maybe you had finished. You had some mostly downs with it. But overall, what are your thoughts on her tenure as the Doctor, the 13th Doctor?
The Jodie era is basically like a collection of episodes that with other Doctors I would have been like, eh. Episodes that I would have just like probably been on my phone the whole time and just watched the last 10 minutes because that's what builds to the story. I just felt like when Stephen Moffat took over, like the show changed so much. It turned like into a modern show, very serialized, like all about these big arcs. And then going to Shipnel, it tries to go back to the Russell T. Davis vibe, like episodic, villain of the week. And it was like too abrupt, that change to just happen from one episode to the next. But like, especially that first season, it's building to nothing.
Yeah.
The finale just happens. It's a random episode. And I don't know, there were some cool episodes in that first season. Like, I really like Kerblam. I like the Rosa Parks episode. There's the one where they're in Norway and there's like this mirror thing. That episode was pretty cool.
That was a cool one, yeah.
I actually liked the finale. I just hated how anticlimactic it was. The second season starts out very strong with the Spyfall episode. That episode was pretty good. But then they introduced this timeless children thing and the lone Cyberman, and it builds, and the finale is so anticlimactic, like the payoff of it all. Like, I just didn't get the point of it. And then we get Flux, and I would argue that the first four episodes are of Flux are pretty good. But then around the fifth episode, I was like, wait, what's happening? What are these villains' intentions? Like, yeah. Really? Apart from the Suntarans, I could not understand what any of these characters were or wanted out of this. So, again, I noticed that pattern. Everything builds and builds, and it doesn't really get a solid payoff. So that's like my basic problem with this era. I love Power of the Doctor, by the way. I thought that was pretty good. But like those two specials before, meh.
Yeah, when I was listening to you and Tony talk about it on your podcast, Bat Wolf Broadcast. Like, I don't remember any of this. Because like you said, they're not remarkable. You're not kind of thinking about those episodes week after week. I'm like, I don't remember this. Yeah, I kind of remember that. I remember Carte Blanche because it's so stupid. But it's
like a blonde man.
Yeah, but it's great. And then when you mentioned in Norway with this house, this mirror, whatever. Yeah, that was a weird, weird episode. But a lot of the other stuff, I'm like, yeah, I don't remember any of the evil, the villain in the first episode that collects teeth and then keeps showing up. That's kind of cool.
He doesn't keep showing up. He shows up in the first episode and the last episode. And they bank on the fact that you remember without ever mentioning him again.
Yeah. But yeah, season two, I really don't remember too much about it. I have to go episode by episode to see. What are the reveal of the master? Did you knew he was the master?
Yes, I knew it was the master.
Okay. Same thing happened to me because I wasn't watching Doctor Who at the point. So when he got cast at the master, like, okay, I know who he is. So when I'm watching the show, I'm like, wait, you know, he's the master. What is this? But I think it was a cool reveal. If you didn't know that he was playing the master, I think the reveal works.
Yep. I think my biggest frustration with everything is that Jodie Whittaker is a great doctor. And I love that she comes in and does something completely different from what all of these dudes had done before. She's a very different doctor. But I just think she deserves better. She deserves better scripts. We do this thing in the show where we think of iconic doctor moments, these speeches, monologues, and all of the ones we could think of were jokes because I don't think she's given like epic doctor moments to own. And right now she's like like on the top of my wish list of doctors to come back because I think she deserves better than what she got.
Yeah. I mean, it's the critique that most people have, and apart from going to all the sexist people that say, oh, just because she was a woman, the writing wasn't up to par. And one of the only thing I kind of go the other way that you, when I listen to your show, because you like that she was this person that was kind of brand new to everything, doctor, everything was a surprise to her. I'm like, well, you're the doctor. You're supposed to know how this works. Are you? But not only her, but people around her, like all the other aliens, nobody, oh, the doctor, we're going to be afraid. Or nobody kind of cared when, oh, it's the doctor. Yeah, whatever. We don't care about it.
But
I don't know, didn't feel very Doctor Who-like.
I kind of agreed with you because I like the childlike wonder of Jodie. That's something that she brings into the role. And in Flux, I like that the doctor does not know what's happening because it's literally the end of everything. The doctor has never dealt with that before. Mm. So I like to see her wing it and be like, let's do this and see what happens. But in previous episodes, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way that the first time we bring in a woman into the role, it's the doctor that's figuring everything out. And the doctor, don't get me wrong, the doctor is constantly improvising. Not the issue, but she never felt like the most dangerous person in the room, which the doctor for me is supposed to be. So, because yes, the doctor is a good person, but he's also a very dangerous person. So, I don't know. Sometimes it kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah. Well, hopefully she'll come back.
I really hope she comes back because and that was like another thing, like the slow realization that the problem was the writing, because at first I thought maybe she's not great, and a couple of episodes in I was like, no, she's pretty good. Then I was like, maybe it's the companions, and apart from Ryan, the companions are great. I really like Jazz, I really like Graham, even Dan is the
yeah at the
John
end
Bon Jovi
guy that doesn't work at that museum keeps showing up.
that was pretty funny. He was pretty good. So like it was like the slow realization, like oh my god, these scripts are just terrible.
Yeah. We got Chewbacca in Doctor Who with Carvanista, which was great.
He was also our companion.
Yeah. All right.
And by the way, I even liked the timeless children thing. For me, was all about execution. But like the concept of it all, I saw people being like, they ruined 60 years of history. And I was like, it makes sense for the Doctor to be the Time Lord. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't think it was like that bad.
I was not disappointed. I like, okay, they're doing this. All right, whatever. Let's move on. So
I didn't think it was necessary, but it just didn't bother me that much. It was more like they did nothing with that. Like, nothing.
How did it feel then watching the 460th special now after watching everything, watching those?
I can imagine a lot of people being happy with it because it felt like a return to form. Mm-hmm. Like, seeing David Tennant and Donna felt like we're home. I still think Wild Blue Yonder is phenomenal. Like I think it's the culmination of everything that came before. Mm-hmm. And Star Beast is the ultimate Doctor Who episode.
It's the perfect Doctor Who episode.
My favorite, it's not the best, it's just the ultimate Doctor Who.
Exactly. Poor Doctor went through like 4 song and dance numbers in the past 2 weeks.
I was texting Tony like all the inconsistencies from Power of the Doctor to Star Beast. Like he talks in the special, he talks about Kate as if they didn't see each other like 12 hours before. Again, time in Doctor Who is weird, but
I don't think too much about canon in Doctor Who because your mind will explode. So that's why I didn't care about the timeless children. But all right, before we say bye, first thanks for Dale, or you make it a Dale. Thanks for being here. Buck, just real quick, talking about Doctor Who, Adosh Jodi, and his mind was blown with the Master reveal. I think it was great. I think it was a very good reveal. And the Master is in that tooth, so hopefully we'll get him back. Which version of the Master? No idea.
Another thing, the Master, I need some help reconciling Missy and is his name?
Yeah.
Or Spymaster, whatever. For me, there's something missing there. But I really liked him. He was different.
Yeah. Very over the top. And Mo has a question for you, Oti. Are you excited for Varada to win?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. That article you sent me was very interesting because we were all being like, oh, Millie Gibson is dead. And it's like, nope, they're going on an adventure together.
Maybe she dies in the first episode. She's still the companion for season 2, plus we're bringing Varada. And the three of them looked extremely good together. I'm sorry. Right after Star Wars Day, and Batch is coming for me for those Omega tweets. I know. I'm sorry.
I think Varada and Ruby are gonna drive the Doctor crazy, and he's gonna be like, I'm dropping you off.
I'm gonna go on my own for a little bit.
Yep.
And we'll finish with this, Mo. And Oti looking for tweets live, and that's how we do the show. Let's do it live, and we finish live. But thanks to everyone for being here. Dale, even if you came in late, doesn't matter. You're here, that's all that matters. Mo, Buck, Brennan, Alan, and Melbourne. Thanks for being here. We'll be back next week. Oti will join us for the finale of The Bad Batch in 2 weeks. And then we'll keep going. We'll see what happens between now and then. Let me put the correct thing there. There we go. See you guys next week. Stay safe. Be safe. May the Force be with you. And never trust a Hydra snake. See ya. Star Trek, what are you doing?